Good morning.
Good morning.
There does seem to be some buoyancy to the crowd. We all must have slept very well last night. Sure good to see these smiling faces. People have been away for a while. Thank you. Coming our way again, blessing us with your devotion to God. Preachers and do's and don'ts. Just do what we tell you, everything will be fine. We really do get caught up in ourselves and think that that's all we need to do. I will give you some Bible verses to help you understand that what we're teaching is the truth. But frankly, especially since none of the other preachers of Scripture ever did that, how we think we are doing well doing that, I'm not sure. But at least to some extent, that's how I was taught to preach. And it is the easy thing to do. Tell you what not to do, tell you what to do. And if I'm, you know, inconsistent with some of it, I'll take care of that later. You don't need to know about that. But that's what I'll stress. That's what I'll tell you. Well, what's missing? Well, are there do's and don'ts in the Scripture? Well, yes, there are. Sure. Is it fairly simple? And are there lists of these things? Well, yes, there are. None of that is disputable. So what's missing? Well, the why. Preachers don't really delve into the why. The idea that, well, because God says so, may be a little presumptive. Especially if everything on the list doesn't have book, chapter, and verse 5. But how immature can we be, how simplistic can we be to say, God says do this, so you do this? I think there's much more to it. The entire scope of it, of the life that God wants you to live, the entire scope is so much bigger than a simplistic list. There's so much more to it that God wants you to understand, and God wants you to embrace, and God wants you to enjoy. Actually, I am convinced at this point the Christian life is to be so much what you are that the idea of going back to what you were doesn't get into your head anymore. And if it should happen to try, you stomp on that thing like a bad bug. And you say, I'll have nothing to do with you anymore. I am caught up in God. And you'll not take that away from me. It is a fight, and it is something we should be willing to fight for. That's exactly right. Woe to the Christian who's not willing to fight for what's right. But the why? The why? I have been stressing to you in some recent messages your place in the grand scheme of redemption, the grand mind of God, where you are in His mind, where you are in His heart. And I came to some conclusions recently about myself that have a tendency to overwhelm me if I think about them too much. But I must let you know these things. You need to know. And we talked about the concept, and I'm going to tell you more about it as the days go on, if the Lord allows. Write more about it in the bulletin, that sort of thing. But for today, the concept of holy ground. What is holy ground? Well, holy ground is where God is. Holy ground was the tabernacle. Holy ground was the temple. Holy ground was wherever a divine emissary of God who came in His name stood. That's holy ground. Well, now, where's the holy ground? Somebody says, well, it's in the holy land. It's in Palestine. No, it's not. I used to think the holy ground was Palmetto Bible Camp. Because I had so many that's in South Carolina. Had so many wonderful, wonderful experiences of worship and devotion and fellowship there. That was my holy ground. But that still wasn't right. Still wasn't right. All right, if holy ground is wherever God is, where is God today? And the distinction of the New Testament versus the Old, a lot of people wonder, what is the difference between the Old and the New Testament? I mean, if it's all still about obedience, and it is. Don't let anybody tell you different. Well, then what's the difference in the Testaments? And the difference is where God is. In the Old Testament, God came to Abraham. In the Old Testament, Jacob went to Bethel and had a dream. And, oh, here's where God is. And then you had the tabernacle, Mount Sinai. And then you had the temple, Jerusalem, where God chose to put his name. God dwells among his people. And it was illustrated by this building. But then the Jews started putting too much stock in the building. God will never let anything happen to this building. That's where he lives. And God says, you're forgetting Shiloh. Don't do that. You have to live as though I lived among you. And they ignored that because they had the building. And the Romans came and annihilated the building. They didn't have the building anymore. New Testament. Where's God? Well, let's go to 1 Corinthians and find out. First Corinthians, chapter 3 is good. Verse 16 and 17. Speaking to the church, speaking to the gathering of the saints in Corinth. The Holy Spirit says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Now, immediately when we start thinking in terms of temple, we start thinking in terms of material structure. So, if it's the church, then it must be the church building. Of course, Paul said nothing about a church building. In fact, there is nothing in the entire New Testament about a church building. So, where's God in the New Testament? Somebody says, he's in heaven, or he's always been. God is in heaven, there's no doubt about that. But where's his presence? Where's his fellowship? Where's the connection, real connection with God, compared to the old? Where do we go to find God? Down here. Where do we go? First Corinthians 6. Verse 14. God both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies, he's talking to Christians, members of the church in Corinth, do you not know that your bodies, plural, are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot, prostitute, is one body with him? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. Verse 17. But he who is joined to the Lord goes to church where God lives in the church building. Is that what it says? Again, church building isn't in here. Where is God? He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. So you have a spirit. God is spirit. If you're a Christian, so that the members of your body can be counted the members of Christ's body, then your spirit and God's spirit are joined. Or I can't understand the passage. I believe I do understand. What about you? He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee fornication. Every sin that man does is outside the body. In other words, every time a man sins, he affects someone outside himself. But if you commit fornication, you sin against your own body. You commit fornication, you are sinning against yourself. Now, it's going to affect someone out there too, but you are sinning against you. And especially now, in the Christian age. Because you see, your body belongs to Christ. Christ owns it. Christ claims it as his. Your spirit belongs to Christ. He claims it as his. So you're joined with God. You and God are supposed to be like this in the Christian age. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you do not belong to yourself? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which belong to God. Okay. Where is God in the New Testament? Where's the holy ground? Well, it's within us. There's no other answer. You, Christian, are the holy ground. Remember how you're supposed to take off your shoes around the holy ground? Well, what about shoes now? Are shoes outlawed? No. No. It's not the point anymore. Taking off your shoes isn't the point anymore. Realizing what it means to be spiritually connected to God is the point. Worshiping in spirit and in truth, that is the point. And understanding that you are the holy ground. More than that, you are the holy place. Remember, the temple was divided between the holy place and the most holy place. The most holy place is the throne of God. That is heaven. You're not going to see that. You're not going to touch that now. But that didn't mean you have no connection to God. As there was a connection between the holy and the most holy place in the temple, so there is now between the holy place and the most holy place. The most holy place is heaven. The holy place is you. You are the holy ground. You are the holy place. You are the house of God. Did you not read that? Did you not see that? You are the house of God. So you don't go now to God anywhere. Isn't that Jesus' point in John 4? The time will come when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. It's not a matter of going to where God is, for God is with you. The kingdom. Now, I've heard about the kingdom all my life, grew up with learning about the kingdom. Understanding the equation between the kingdom and the church, got that down. That is the truth. We just didn't go far enough with it. The kingdom exists independently of us, right? The church exists independently of us. But that doesn't deny that we're members of the church. nor does it deny that we're citizens of the kingdom. So I have preached and I have said that when you find the church of Christ, you find the kingdom of God, established per the prophecies of Daniel 2, Isaiah 2, and a host of other places. And that is exactly right. But what do they see when they come looking for the kingdom? Well, they look for the sign, Church of Christ, in front of a building. And that's the kingdom. No wonder people have such a hard time grasping that the kingdom is here. Because, of course, Christianity is defined by denominationalism in their minds. And when we are all about the building and the sign, then we just emphasize that for them. Is the kingdom more? Well, it absolutely is, but do we understand what that means? Luke, and how many times have we read it? Luke 17. It's right there. And it's not even Christians that Jesus is talking to, or disciples. He's talking to the Pharisees who are plying him with questions, as they usually do. Sometimes to get an answer, sometimes to see if they can get an answer they can use against him. Verse 20 of Luke 17. Now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God does not come with observation. You're not going to be able to see it coming. Nor will they say, 'Listen to it,' 'See here,' or 'See there.' Where are you going to go find God? Well, look there, look there." And Jesus says in a few places, no, that's not how it is. Where are you going to find the kingdom? Well, look over there. Well, look over there. No, that's not how you're going to find the kingdom that God has in mind. Nor will they say, "See here," or "See there." And I've always said, well, that means that the kingdom isn't something on a map. Like kingdom, you know, kingdoms of earth, political kingdoms have localized territory that they rule over. That's not the way of the kingdom of God. And that's exactly right. It just was a little shallow. And the next statement of Christ demonstrates that. For indeed, or for see. Same word. See, the kingdom of God is inside you. That's why you don't see it. It's a spiritual kingdom. Alright, where is it? In you. It lives in you. Where is the rule of Christ demonstrated? In you. That's why your bodies are members of Christ. Because you're a walking citizen, and therefore a walking demonstration of the kingdom of God. You are. You're the holy ground. You're the holy place. You are the temple of God. You are the kingdom of God. You are. No wonder Jesus told Nicodemus, you're not going to see the kingdom if you're not born again. Makes sense now a lot, doesn't it? Really clear. Of course you have to be born again. Your thinking has to be rearranged. Your heart has to be converted. You have to start seeing things spiritual. So we talk about the things of God, and we talk about them being precious to us, and God looks at you and goes, "Don't you know you're the precious thing? So you are to be the holy thing. You are." To get caught up in special seasons, holy seasons, is a failure of understanding this absolute point, absolute truth of your place in God's Christian economy. To want a holy season, to think there's holy food, a holy diet, to think there's a holy place, is to totally miss the point. And therefore, it is trying to tie Old Testament type symbol and incompleteness, tying that incompleteness on what is supposed to be complete. Even as the New Testament fulfills the Old, somebody thinks they need a holy place. Jesus says, well, look to you. Look inside you. I want to go where God is. Believe the promises. He's in you. He's in you. Now, does this take away the desire to get to heaven just as fast as we can according to the Lord's will? No, it ought to enhance it. It ought to increase the intense desire to see God's face and walk with Him truly hand in hand. Which we sing about all the time. I don't know if anyone takes it to heart. And I'm talking to myself. Do we really think we walk hand in hand with Jesus? You know, it's poetry, it's songs, you know, poetic license. And God goes, no! It is absolute truth with you. Why can't you see it?
Amen.
Why can't you see it? So two things then. If you have that place, and Romans 8 tells you clearly that nothing can happen to you on this earth and take that place away from you. Your circumstances have nothing to say about how, where God has you in His loving heart. If that is the case, then why do we get so caught up in circumstances? Why do we allow circumstances of this life to determine our happiness, to determine our peace, to determine what is good or bad? Oh, if that guy slaps me for saying that, then it's bad for me to say that. Not necessarily. The guy may need to hear it anyway. But he slaps me. Okay. You know what to do. The point is, God's in you. Does His slap take that away from you? And if the answer is, of course, no. In fact, God is honored that you would take a slap for His Son. He is honored by that. Are you honored to take the slap for His Son? Circumstances have nothing to do with it. The other point is, stop wanting to sin. Stop thinking that this world has anything to add to you contrary to the will of Jesus. Stop doing that. Stop going there. Stop trying to talk like the world. Stop trying to be sexy like the world. Stop trying to be wealthy in the world's eyes. Stop it. Stop it. You have everything you need because you are a Christian. From the beginning you had it because God loves you that much. The world has nothing for you. When you were baptized, you're supposed to have understood that, repented of that. Paul, though, and the Holy Spirit for sure, understands that we miss that, though, sometimes. Even though we were supposed to have repented before baptism. And so, Romans 6. Get it in your heart. Get it in your head to accommodate the change God worked in you when you were baptized. Make it work for you. God's right there to help you. Now, some people get nervous thinking that God is right there, looking over my shoulder, seeing every little thing, hearing every little word. Okay. If that's you, we got to talk. We really do. You've got to get a whole new view of God. He does see everything. He does hear everything. And there's no getting away from it. That's established. But you don't understand. He's your best friend. He's not your tormentor. That's the devil. God is your best friend. You couldn't do any better than to have him right there looking over your shoulder. You couldn't do any better. He's closer than being right there, isn't he? If he's inside you, if he's in you, that's as good as it gets, this side of heaven. Now again, let me close with something else that I've talked about before that I learned and it's excited me to no end. When you get to heaven, there's no temple. Now there's a temple in heaven that is the reality of which the earthly temple was a type, a mock-up. The earthly temple still conveyed the truth. It did, but it was a reflection of the reality of heaven, the heavenly temple. And John sees that temple in his vision, in Revelation. Until you get to the end of it all, Jesus comes back, takes us home. And then John says, I don't see a temple anymore. There is no temple. Which means what? It means the entire new creation, the entire new heaven and earth, the entire new concept of what's new in eternity is just one huge, most holy place. And we're there now. That's where we live now, in the most holy place. Because that's where God has wanted us the whole time. The whole time. That's where He's wanted us. That's why you don't see a temple. Because the whole place is the temple. The whole place of the new heavens and new earth is the most holy place of God's house. And we're right in the middle of it. And happily so. As far as God's concerned. Does it delight you to know that that kind of intimate association with God awaits you? Does it stir you up? Are you kind of excited? If it doesn't, then your home's still here. Your treasures are still here. You count here as your life, and it's going to destroy you. You've got to change. You've got to come to the understanding of the value of heaven to you. No, the value of God's presence to you. You've got to get that down. Or sin will always have dominion. Remember Romans 6 says, sin shall not have dominion over you because you're not under the law but under grace. Well, yeah, if you get the grace and if that's what you really want. But if it's not what you really want, you can't beat sin. It has already beaten you. This is not what God had in mind. This is not what God wants for you. He truly does give us the victory. Enjoy the fullness of it. God and you, as tight as they come. And it's what the Lord wants. You tell me that won't help keep you out of sin. You tell me that won't stop you from complaining about every little thing that goes on in this life. You tell me that won't help you love better, including those who don't love you. You know it with me. And I know it with me. Forgive us preachers for not sharing these wonderful, real truths.
soon. But praise God, we have them today. This hour. If you need to respond to this truth, this wonderful gospel truth, please come. Take care of your souls and needs while we sing this.
When we walk with